WXDX FM, Pittsburgh.
Well, well, well. Every time I try and talk hockey, the Steelers do something, which might be their plan. But I will get to the Penguins in just a bit inside this segment because last night's opener at Philadelphia was a stink sandwich. But the Steelers chose their sacrificial lambs today. It's Randy Feitner, Sean Sarrett, and Tom Bradley, the offensive coordinator, the O-line coach, and the safeties coach. Their contracts will not be renewed. Tomlin knew all about this when he met with the media on Tuesday. He just didn't want to discuss. He avoided that like it was a 4th-and-1. Feitner wasn't the real offensive coordinator. Ben was. DeCastro-Ponce and Villanueva are washed up. Chuk stinks. Filer is a journeyman. Sarrett is out because he couldn't polish crap. He seemed to do okay with Kevin Dotson, and then Dotson didn't play. But oh my God, get Munchak back. That'll fix everything. Bradley got fired because Terrell Edmonds can't tackle. They drafted a guy in the first round with Terrell Edmonds who can't tackle. But that's the fault of the position coach. It is a gigantic leap of faith to believe the Steelers organization is anything but clueless and in disarray right now. If you think these decisions have any impact beyond very minor, you are a moron, which is exactly what the Steelers are counting on. Jerry Dulac will be my guest at 3:30, the Post-Gazette Steelers reporter. And Jerry said the Steelers should go after Adam Gase, Doug Peterson, or Jim Caldwell as the new OC. But I bet it's going to be Matt Canada, the quarterback's coach, Coach Matt, because that way Ben still gets to be the boss. Then again, Ben does not like Canada's gimmicky stuff, so stay tuned. James Daniel retired. He was the Steelers' longtime tight ends coach. Nice guy, I'm told. I couldn't pick him out of a police lineup. I never was cognizant of who the tight ends coach was until today. So that's that. If you'd like to comment, feel free. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call, or you could tweet me at MarkMaddenX. But I think it's all a crock. The Steelers will make no real changes, and so nothing will change. Except they won't start 11-0. I feel pretty comfortable saying that won't happen next year. Okay, so Penguins. Boy, was that bad last night in Philadelphia. You lost 6-3 and looked really crappy doing it. Tristan Jarry was awful. You're allowed to make a tough save, you know. He got caught too deep in his net on a few goals. He didn't battle through screens. He needed a busy stick on that goal where they walked out of the corner. Just poke it, like Fleury did. Not all the goals were on Jarry, or even most of them. But 6 is too many. Mike Matheson is the new scapegoat. Check out my blog about that at the X website. Matheson is the new Jack Johnson, at least if Twitter is to indicate. Matheson had some bad moments, but all the defensemen were simply terrible. Matheson at least made some plays with the puck. I'm not sure him and Marino are a good pair. There's no... What's the word I'm looking for? There's no defense there. The defense pinched poorly. Odd man breaks out the backside, but the D is supposed to pinch in that Penguin system, albeit maybe better than that. The forwards are supposed to cover when the D pinches, and the forwards did not. The single biggest problem for the Penguins was puck management. The puck management was a nightmare. The turnovers were horrific in terms of number, damage, and shock level. That was like 83 Penguins level. It's only one game, but if last night is any indication, the Penguins can't play the speed game. They are not fast enough. The Flyers weren't trapping, and the Penguins still couldn't get through the neutral zone. The stars didn't look like stars except on Sidney Crosby's incredible goal. And that's one fluky moment. The Penguins have to trap and counterattack. They got to trap and counterattack. They can't play the way they want to. If they do, they're a 500 team. At best. The Jankowski line got two goals. It was the Penguins' best line. That's how you get beat 6-3, when the Jankowski line is your best line. The Penguins allowed late goals in each of the first two periods. The PK was 0 for its first two. That game was about as bad as it could possibly get, especially for an opening game, but it is only one game. I would put Jari right back in there tomorrow night for game two at Philly, but I bet it's to Smith. But the thing with Matheson being the new Jack Johnson, the new scapegoat on Twitter, that pisses me off because it's going to last all season based on one game because Twitter is a cesspool. So that's what I got. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. If you want a highlight, again, that was a great goal by Sid last night. Just incredible hand-eye. Not once, but twice. But when it comes to highlights, that's it. That's the list. And given the result, it's tough to get too excited. Gino was invisible. Jake was invisible. The power play sucked. So Steelers gripes, Penguins gripes, we got it all going on all day long here on the X. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. We got Jerry Dulac joins me at 3:30. He covers the Steelers to Post-Gazette. His point about bringing in a proven offensive guy like Gase or Caldwell or Peterson, that's what they should do. I am absolutely certain that's what they will not do. And we'll talk hockey after that with Steve Mears, the voice of the Penguins on TV, and with Josh Joey from TheAthletic.com at 5:30. The Steelers should have fired Tomlin. They fired a bunch of non-difference makers, even Coach Randy. It's Coach Ben. It's not Coach Randy, but whatever. What's going to happen, whatever they do, is good for me. I would bring an OC in from outside and put Ben to a decision. If he quits, he quits. But Ben ain't going to quit. That would be a bluff. He's going to get that 41 mil. It's time to take undue influence out of the Steelers' decision-making equation. Like the quarterback. Like the players. Like anybody but the owner, although to say I have faith in the owner or the coach at this point, well, that would be a bold-faced lie. But the organization ain't what it was. It used to be special. They used to run things different. Now the players bully the organization. The quarterback's the de facto coach. And like I said yesterday, a lot of players want Ben to quit. That's what I'm told, because he's basically the coach. I'd rather talk Penguins, though. That was just a disheartening loss. They came out of the gate good and just faded. The Stars need to adjust to what they are and what they got to work with. Mario always did. Look at Trottier, too, when he came to Pittsburgh. It's important to separate how you want to play from how you have to play. And you got to play how you have to play. All right, in just a minute, we'll talk about the future of the OC spot. We'll talk about Ben's future, depending on what happens with the offensive coordinator hiring. We'll talk about how getting Mike Munchak back would solve all their problems. Pouncey, DeCastro, Villanueva, it would be like they dipped in the fountain of youth. They would be awesome right away. Chooks would be awesome. Fowler would be awesome. Kevin Dotson, they probably still wouldn't play him. So that's just around the corner here on 105.9 The X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Hey, Mark.
Hey.
How you doing, buddy?
Let me check. Let me see what I'm wearing today. Yep, my shoes cost more than your house.
The X at 105.9.
Yeah.
that, as Ronnie does later in the song, you're all fools. I got a futures bet down in Vegas. Juju is an 11-point underdog against the New York media next year. I gave the 11. That's a lock. Okay. Chase Claypool, better known as AB Junior Junior, he did another interview about his controversial TikTok on Monday, saying the Browns going to get clapped by KC, so it's all good. And he doubled down on Dazen. This is AB Junior Junior talking on Dazen.
Listen, you're putting it out there, Chase. Do you still stand by what you said?
Yeah, I mean, not that if I'm like preying on them getting beat really bad. But someone had just asked me a score prediction, and that was kind of a way of me saying that I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Browns. You know, I think if the Browns had won with more class, then I wouldn't have been so salty about it. But them mocking Juju during the game and after the game just didn't sit right with me.
No, I totally understand that you're going to have a teammate's back. But was it that specifically then? Like, what was it that they were doing?
They're just super classless, you know, against Juju, towards Juju, what they're saying on the field towards the end of the game. So, you know, I'm not going to have respect for a team that doesn't have respect for us.
No, I totally get it. And, of course, the Browns players heard your comments. Taki says it's really just funny. He's salty with the loss. You can hear it in his voice. Obviously, we got the win. We got the last laugh. Adrian Claiborne said, just go on vacation already, young fella. What do you think of those guys trying to throw back at you after you made your comment?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. Like, they can enjoy the win and another week of football, but they'll be on the couch right next to me next week, so it's all good.
First off, could the interviewer have his tongue stuck any further up AB Junior Junior's rectum? He nearly killed him. I mean, my God, if I ever do that, just come in and hand me the pink slip. Now, I heard the first interview, but AB Junior Junior on TikTok. Nobody asked him to predict the score at Kansas City and Cleveland. They just said to him, how'd you feel about losing? And he said that the Browns were going to get clapped by Kansas City, so, quote, it's all good. He keeps saying that. It's all good. It's not all good. They fired a bunch of coaches today. It's not all good. You started 11-0, and you lost five of your last six. It's not all good. You were favored by six at home in a playoff game against a team crippled by COVID. You were down 7-0 after one snap and 28-0 in the first quarter. It is not all good, AB Junior Junior. And oh, poor little Juju. You had to jump to the defense of Juju because the Browns were super classless. Yo, I'm pretty sure I know who threw the first stone in that little drama. And it was Juju saying the Browns is the Browns. If anybody's super classless, it's you, AB Junior Junior, and your mentor, AB Junior. Chase Claypool wants respect. Everybody wants respect, but no one wants to earn respect. You got your ass whipped. You should shut up. And guess what? It's going to happen again next year, AB Junior Junior. And I can't wait. I can't wait. And I said earlier this week, I say again now, for the length of your career here, I'm up your ass. It's me and you. And I will bring you out of that shell because you seem to be a little bit shy. You seem to be a little bit shy, AB Junior Junior. But what you said today, for the first time, I got to tell you, for the first time, I got to say, I think Chase Claypool has the potential to be a bigger asshat than Antonio Brown. A bigger jerk-off than the original AB. Now, don't get me wrong. He'll get about one-third the stats. It's like a light beer. One-third the stats, just as much aggravation. What a loser. What a buffoon. What a scumbag. Not to be critical. 412-333-WXDX, the number to call. Let's go to Josh in the truck. Josh, on with Double M.
Hey, what's happening, Mark?
Hi, Josh.
Hey, well, obviously, I think Tomlin should be gone. They lost five of their last six. The way they showed up in that playoff game was just horrible.
I got to interrupt. Why isn't Cam Hayward or Marquise Pouncey or Ben calling this idiot AB Junior Junior and telling him to shut the frig up already? I'll tell you why. Because those three guys couldn't lead a hooker to bed with a fistful of 50s. They're not leaders.
Oh, yeah. And I honestly don't believe Tomlin is either. He has no discipline.
And I know what that takes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't believe Tomlin has any discipline. He doesn't discipline. I mean, if Cowher was the head coach and someone would ever say that, what do you think of
that? Oh, no, no. Cowher had his moments in that vein that weren't good either. But Tomlin's just hit his expiration date. I really believe Mike could be a good coach somewhere else. But let the culture be destroyed here, and there's no coming back from that.
Well, let me ask you, do you think he's going to retire when Ben retires or go to a different team?
Boy, wouldn't that be something? What if they kept Tomlin around for one more year and he quit when Ben quits and goes to another team?
Yeah.
I don't think he will, though. I don't think he will. One thing for Tomlin I'll say, I think he sees himself as a Pittsburgher. I don't think we could get rid of him if we wanted to. And we do. Anyway, 412-333-WXDX. Jerry Dulac up next, 105.9.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Double M, what's up, brother? Hey, Double M.
Well, I love Sally Wiggum, but not as much as soccer.
That's the best thing I've almost ever heard.
VX at 105.9.
Lots of news coming from the Steelers Southside Complex today. Joining me now to discuss, he covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. He is Jerry Dulac. Jerry, did any of the firings today surprise you? And do you agree that they smack of scapegoating more than anything?
No, I don't think they're scapegoating. I'm surprised that Tom Bradley's contract wasn't renewed for the simple fact that there's nothing wrong with the defense that needs to be changed schematically in terms of position. But I think, Mark, what's happening there is, and you've seen this in Mike Tomlin's recent history, he hires ex-players, ex-NFL players. Ike Hilliard, Eddie Faulkner, Carl Dunbar, and I think he wants a former NFL player probably in that role. So I think that's what that was about. And, you know, I mean, in terms, there was no dissatisfaction there. But I don't think you're making Randy Fittner a scapegoat or Sean Surrett, because Sean Surrett in particular in the offensive line, you needed to make a change. You need to change what you do and who you're doing it with. And what they were doing just wasn't even remotely good enough.
Yeah, but so, isn't Ben really the OC? Isn't he the shadow coordinator?
Really. No, not really. But you have to understand, and look, I'm not saying that Ben doesn't have great say, and when they're in no huddle, Ben's calling the plays. But I don't care who the quarterback is, whether it's Mason Rudolph or Ben Roethlisberger, when they develop the game plan during the week, it's done with the quarterback's input to say, you know what, I don't really like that play. Because they're not comfortable with it, or I'm not comfortable with this little setup. And so the coordinator try to come to a common ground that works relative to the scheme that they have planned, and then try to figure out what plays work best. So that doesn't matter who the quarterback is. So they're going to have that input with the coordinator during the week. Now, when you get to the game and you start going no huddle, as Ben does, then those plays, he has a script of plays from which to call, and they're Fittner's plays that he and Randy Fittner agreed upon. But Ben's going to call the plays or audible the plays that he likes based on what he sees. And as a 17-year veteran, yeah, I get that. And he should be, because all those guys have been around do that. So I think there's this misconception that, you know, he's the offensive coordinator and he's saying what plays. No, that's not necessarily true. But I think what they're doing, obviously, and whose scheme it was, where did it come from that they decided they wanted to go to this short, quick passing game, whatever it was. It needs to be fixed. And let me say this real quickly too, Mark, is that I'm not sure what the mentality is. I can't sit here and tell you for sure. But go back to Bruce Arians. It was viewed then that he was too chummy with Ben, and Ben had too much say, and Ben needed to be sat on, so we hired Todd Haley. So then they go a couple, 3 years with Todd Haley, and then it's, well, Ben and Haley don't get along. Well, that's, they wanted Todd Haley to come in and sit on Ben. So then it's, he doesn't get along with Todd. And so then we're going to hire a guy, not that Ben okays it, but we're going to hire We're going to promote Randy Fittner because they get along. Well, then they get along, and it's like, okay, Ben's the offensive coordinator. We need somebody else who's going to be the offensive coordinator and tell him what to do. I'm not saying that's it, but that's kind of, I mean, that's part of what you're seeing here. You're going back and forth between good guy, bad guy.
Well, yeah, no, I get it, but I also know that one guy has been there all the time, and the offense isn't any good right now. Now, you tweeted about hiring Gase or Caldwell or Peterson, and I agree. I think the best move would be to bring in somebody from outside who's a respected offensive mind. But how will Ben react to that with next year presumably his last?
Well, you know, Mark, it's not so much you're kind of in the right church but the wrong pew. Ben's probably not going to like it, but it's not going to be about what Ben likes. That's not going to factor into it. But what will factor into it is, do you want, if Ben is coming back and you want him back, which from all indications, it appears that's the case both ways. Do you want to, for one final year, subject him to a system change with different language that he has to learn all over again? So that is the problem. So then do you hire from within? Well, you don't have many candidates to hire from within. Matt Canada is interviewing for the offensive coordinator job in Miami today. The Steelers gave the Dolphins permission. He's interviewing for that job. Would the Steelers hire Matt Canada and promote him after 1 year? I don't know. I haven't been told yay. I haven't been told no.
If I can interrupt, I'm a little conflicted with Canada because Ben's familiar with him, but I'm not sure Ben likes his gimmickry.
Well, you're right about that, Mark. And it is, I don't know whether he doesn't like his gimmickry or he's not comfortable with it. But whatever the case, as you saw, very little of what was talked about in the preseason and training camp appeared when Ben was, especially in no huddle. You didn't see any motion, you know, pre-snap notion. You didn't see any misdirection. You know, you didn't see, different types of jet sweeps. And Ben admitted early on that he wasn't, you know, he was trying to get comfortable with it because it was new to him. He's not going to call something or use something a lot that he's not comfortable with. So it's a little of both. But either way, he's going to have to get adjusted to a new person, whether it's a new system or whether it's somebody. But again, I don't know where the candidates are within. There's only one, in my opinion. But to me, they need to go outside. I'm not saying it's one of those guys, but you know what? You look, all those guys were successful as offensive coordinators. And you know, Mike Tomlin interviewed Jim Caldwell when they hired Todd Haley. Now, I know Jim Caldwell's being talked about as a potential Houston Texans coach. But I know that Mike Tomlin has a nice relationship with him. And so, you know, that could be a very real possibility as well. But I do believe they need to go outside. But they also have to decide how that's going to affect what they do if Ben is their quarterback.
We're talking to Jerry Dulac at the Post-Gazette. Jerry, brought to us by your neighborhood Ford stores. Jerry, why did they collapse? And why do they keep collapsing? That's 3 years in a row. And I don't think a loss to end the season could be any more disheartening than that playoff defeat at the hands of Cleveland.
Well, no, it's not a disheartening, Mark. It's embarrassing. Just as the Jacksonville game was, loss was 4 years ago. So, and you say the last 3 years, and I agree, but you can stretch it to four if you want because of the way they early exited against the Jaguars back in 2017. And so, to me, that's what needs to be identified. You know, it happens once, okay, it's disappointing. It happens twice, it's a coincidence. It happens 3 to 4 times, it's a systemic problem. It's a disturbing trend, and you have to identify why. It's not as simple as schematics. It's not as simple as this player or that player or personnel. It's something more than that. It's something that keeps occurring, and you have to identify why, if you can. And if you can identify why, then, and I'm sure it's not one thing, but there's probably one common thread. And if you can identify what it is, now can you fix it? And when I kind of asked Mike Tomlin that yesterday, a little shorter version of the same question, his answer was you can't continue to do the same thing and hope that it's going to be better. He said that's the definition of insanity. And that's right. And so I think what has to be identified doesn't just come from Mike Tomlin. I think that's the job, and I'm sure it will be, the job of Art Rooney and Kevin Colbert. And they have to figure out what that is, because it just doesn't keep happening, Mark. You know, you could sit there last year and say, well, I get it. Last year they had Duck and Mason Rudolph. Yeah, but with Duck and Mason Rudolph, they won 8 of 10 games at one point. And then to get to where they were, and then they lost their last 3 to miss the playoffs. The year before, they lost 4 of their last 6. And the year before that, they had that embarrassing loss to the Jaguars. And then, of course, we see what happened this year. 5 of their last 6 games and another embarrassing, listless, pathetic playoff performance.
Well, Jerry,
there's something going on there, Mark.
My opinion's not popular with the X's and O's crowds, but I think the culture is severely flawed. I think that locker room lacks leadership. I think that they have a bunch of immature young guys that lack focus, and that trickles down, especially when times are good, as in these past 3 years. I think Juju and Claypool have provided ample evidence. I mean, do you agree, and how big a problem is that, if it is?
Mark, I don't know so much. I don't disagree. I don't know so much that it's leadership among the players. You have a couple guys who I think are capable of handling that. I believe leadership starts at the top. And when I'm starting at the top, I'm top of the football team, and that's Mike Tomlin. And I think among the things that need to be addressed or that you have to look at. And so when I talk about identifying a problem, look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is it. And it may not just be one thing. But I think there's an accountability problem or issue that needs to be addressed. And accountability is another word kind of, or is a sister of discipline. And I'm talking about both on the field and off the field. You have some players out there who are doing what they want, and are undisciplined and worrying more about making the plays that they want as opposed to what they are being told to do. And so when that happens, to me, you have to hold those players accountable. And then when you see the nonsense that has gone on with Juju Smith-Schuster, and disturbingly to me by Chase Claypool, a rookie, then you know what? You better sit on that. It took a fumble against Cincinnati that led to a touchdown for them to come out and say, well, we're going to tell Juju to stop dancing on the midfield
Jerry,
logo.
It's too late. Tomlin can't do
it. Of course it is. And so
the enabler can't be the fixer.
And look, this goes back to, and again, Mark, you're right. And that's why I said that problem has to be identified. That's where Art Rooney and Kevin Colbert come into play. They have to figure out what it is and how they are going to correct it. So when you see these players being allowed to do that with no accountability and no discipline, on the field and off, and there's more than just those two, that's what needs to be addressed. Because trust me, Mark, these other veteran players see this, just as they did with Antonio Brown, and they see that nothing happens. And trust me, they wonder why that nothing happens and why there's no discipline. And it affects the way they feel. And in many instances, I don't know about many, but certainly some, it affects the way they play. And it would perform, you know, the whole team. And so that is something that needs to be, in my opinion, addressed. And I'm not just talking about that social media nonsense.
Now, what about Ben? What are your expectations from him for next year? And what's he got left in the tank? Because he was awful down the stretch, awful in the first half, certainly, on Sunday. And, boy, if you're inconsistent at 38 going on 39, I'm not sure you fix it.
Well, Mark, I think one thing. I think there's no question about physically whether Ben can play. As you saw in the second half, that he's capable of making every and any throw. That is not an issue. There is nothing wrong with Ben physically other than the fact he's going to be 39 and you have some aches and pains. But Ben takes care of himself. He has a nutritionist. He has a trainer. He's been doing that for a couple of years. So, there's going to be some other issues at play here, including the salary cap. But I really don't think if they want him back and he wants to come back, they'll work around that. They'll figure that out. They always do. So, but he's not only your quarterback, he's your franchise quarterback. And yeah, he's going to be 39, but he's probably still better than anything you're going to have or find. And if you feel,
but maybe you're delaying a rebuilding process, and maybe you can't win next rebuild. Year.
Mark, they don't rebuild. You know that as well as I. They never rebuild. They retool. They don't know what the word rebuild is. They approach every year like they can win the division and go into the playoffs. Now, sometimes we may sit there and say, okay, between injuries or depending on what players. But as long as they've had Ben Roethlisberger, that has always been their belief. And I don't believe that's going to change. And you're right. It might delay it a year, but Mark, they are going to play for 2021. They ain't playing for 2022. And so that's the way they'll make the decisions. Now, this isn't Troy Polamalu either. They knew Troy Polamalu couldn't play. They knew he couldn't play the last year they had him back. This isn't that situation where they, you know, kind of said, okay, Troy, they let him retire because it was a forced retirement. That's not the case here. Ben wants to come back and play. If they want him to, they will make that decision. But it's not about can Ben play? Is he capable of playing? It's going to be about, you know, whether it's going to be about finances or it's up to Ben. And, Mark, I mean, Ben has indicated he wants to play out his contract. I expect him to come back.
Jerry, great stuff. Fantastic insight as always. Thank you for your input all year, and we'll do it again real soon, I hope.
All right, Mark, anytime, you know that.
That's the great Jerry Dulac. Check out his work in the Post-Gazette. Very pragmatic by Jerry. You know, I'm not the only one that thinks Juju and Claypool are a problem. You heard what Jerry said, and let me tell you, I told you yesterday, the Steelers think Claypool's going to be a big problem because he has accelerated the jerk-off timetable. He is a bigger jerk-off as a rookie than Juju, than AB, than Lev. He is the number one rookie jerk-off in Steeler history, and he should be proud of that. Not really. 412-333-WXX. Oh, by the way, this just in. Claypool disowned that interview you heard a little bit ago. He said that's an old interview, and he has nothing but love for the Browns, and they should rep the division. Dude, how old could it be? You lost Sunday. You see, that's the thing about guys like Juju. They're alternate bullies and cowards. When they get called out for being a bully, they turn into a coward. Not me. Come and get it. 105.9 The X.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
So, what's happening?
He's a little guy.
Huh? What? I'd love to get the balls to say what you want to say.
Very good point.
The X at 105.9.
Thanks again to Jerry Dulac, who's been with us all season. We'll have him back next season. Ain't nobody better when it comes to covering the Steelers. Let's go to Ronald and McDonald. That's pretty funny. You're on with Double M.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just curious if the Toxic Twins are playing this weekend.
Well, one's a backup, and one's the third receiver. So, yeah, they are. They're really good, huh? Wish the Steelers would have kept them, right?
I think so, don't you?
No, I don't. If one of them gets a ring, you know what? They give the ball boy a ring, too. Let's go to Rob in Newcastle. Rob, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark, I'm the same age as you, and I, and all the years we've been watching this, I don't think there's ever been a year where it makes more sense based on the facts going into this offseason with an aging quarterback, salary cap issues, a large portion of your roster that's going to turn over to make a complete overhaul from Colbert on down, just clean house.
You see, I don't blame fresh. Colbert the way some do because he's not really the GM. Tomlin's really the GM.
Now, right, but Colbert's a year away from retiring anyway. So
No. I'm not dismissing that, but yeah. The scapegoats for what's just happened is 90% Mike Tomlin, 10% Ben Roethlisberger. And you know what? Art Rooney II over all of that, which we'll get to a little bit later.
Right. And the other thing, too, is you've got an offensive game now. Go out, get Bieniemy. If that's the offensive guru.
Here's what I would do, brah. I would do. I would make Eric Bieniemy the head coach, and I would draft my quarterback in the future, if not this year, then next year. And Eric Bieniemy would hopefully do for him what he did for Patrick Mahomes. But, like Jerry Dulac said, the Steelers don't rebuild. Somebody better explain what that means, though, because whether they like it or not, they're on the cusp of doing it, whether they like it or not.
Mark, they're also, we got to start wondering about the way the Steelers operate, and not, we always talk about how many Super Bowls it's won. We now need to start about how many Super Bowls has it cost us.
Well, I don't think they were anything close to a Super Bowl team this year, and I told you that when they were, 8-0, 10-0, whatever and 0.
Right.
But what they have to worry about right now is that their culture is in shambles and their organization is in disarray. And let me tell you something. Nobody in that organization, not owner, not coach, not locker room, has the guts to straighten out the culture. And that's a big problem. Nobody has the guts to walk up to Chase Claypool and say, rookie, shut the frig up. And the next time he doesn't play for a game. Nobody there has the guts to do it. Jerry says they have leaders in the locker room. I see zero evidence of that. Okay, we got Big Al on hold. We'll get to him in a second. We'll get some hockey talk going. We got Steve Mears next hour. It's the Mark Madden Show, 105.9 The X.